we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You are listening, I promise, to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, Tiffany Steckbell.
Continue to smash the patriarchy.
Smush it. Give it a squash.
Smush it real
Unless
good.
That's what it wants. And then don't do that.
And don't
reward
don't
the
lube.
Patriarchy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you just, was that advocation for a hate crime?
No, I never advocate hate crimes.
You said no lube.
Well,
that seems pretty hateful.
It is. But it is pretty hateful. It's pretty cruel.
The patriarchy does have it coming.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing it for so long, so.
Yes, they have.
It's true.
No, I don't disagree. So let's, we haven't done I Told You So in quite a while.
No.
You know, just, and I don't want to go too deep because I know you're uncomfortable talking about it, but let's just, quick update for people that care. How you doing?
I never know how to answer this because I get asked this a lot, and I'm so grateful that people have been reaching out and been so wonderful, but it changes so fast, and I hate to say, oh, I'm doing good, because in like an hour, I could not be doing good and not be able to do anything for the rest of the day.
Well, and the switch is so quick from you having an okay day to you just having a series of very painful seizures.
Yeah.
It's hard to be witness to what you're going through, which means that's like 1/1000th of what you're going through.
I don't think that's true. I really don't. I think it's so much harder for the people that have to, like the caretakers, what you're going through, having to watch and deal and pick up the slack, you know, it's a lot on your shoulders, and you've been wonderful.
I have very broad shoulders.
You do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's going. I think one of the other things that I'm working with and dealing with is weird symptoms that I had no idea that go along with it. And some of those have gotten a lot worse. Like some tics and some body movements. And
a lot of muscle strain.
Yeah.
You know, convulsions, seizures, just all of it. It's been, and trying what our biggest problem is that we found a couple of places that specialize, and neither of them take insurance. They do this scheme, I'm going to call it a scheme, just because I'm in a mood, where they will write a letter so that you can attempt to be reimbursed by your insurance company. And when we were told that by the first specialist, I was like, well, that's fucked up. So I kept looking for another. And then I found a clinic that has three or four doctors that do it. And they don't take insurance either. It's all out of pocket. And they're about double, a little bit more than double the cost of the first guy, the one that we liked.
Yeah.
And I talked to the insurance company. It was like, hey, blah, blah, reimbursement. And the lady literally laughed. She went, sure. Yeah, we don't do that.
Yeah, of course. Even if they did accept insurance, the insurance is not going to cover that for me right now. I you know, it's not an option. So we'll see.
So we're looking for a fix. We've found where we need to go, and now we just need to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, we're learning lots. Weird things happen, and then you say, oh, That's actually normal. That actually happens.
Okay. God, it's nuts.
This weird thing. Oh yeah, I read that. That can happen too. What?
Well, when I read stuff with weird symptoms, I don't always tell you about them. Honestly, because I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to freak you out. Like, oh, here's what's coming.
You know, there's a couple reasons behind that for me. When I first found out and I joined this group, it was nice to see that there were others going through it, as weird as that sounds, that it wasn't just me. But then on the flip side, it was horrifying to see like some of the things that people go through, how long it can last, what can happen. And then I also worry, am I like picking up these symptoms? You know, did I watch somebody say something on Facebook and now all of a sudden
your subconscious is like, let's give this a try.
Yeah, let's try this today. I don't want to do that. So I don't think I have at all, but.
No, I don't think you have. It's usually you say or something happens. We witness it. You experience it. And then I go, yeah, I read about that. You know, that's normal. Don't worry about it. It'll all be okay in a few minutes or an hour or 2 hours or whatever.
It's crazy. I mean, I've had seizures and woke up and I couldn't feel my hands or my legs. And like, yeah, it's scary. And you've been so great to like reassure me. Oh, this is normal. It's going to be okay. I'm like, I can't move my fucking feet. It's this terrifying. Is not normal.
Yeah, it really is. It's really scary. You know, on my end, I can't imagine what it's like having it happen to you. You know, I mean, that's the thing is it's like just the other day. I was doing something, I think I was brushing my teeth and I looked in the mirror and noticed all the scars up and down my arm and remembered, oh shit, I have cancer.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't care. I don't care about it. I can't do anything about it. I can't get treatment for it yet. We can't afford it. Our insurance won't cover it. So put it in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that it is 1/10 as scary to me as what you're going through. If not 1/100th.
No.
So, I mean, that's just where it is. It's like.
Well, we've had the greatest people. I mean, we say this. I feel like I say this constantly. And it's true that just show up for us in these huge way, very unexpected ways.
Yeah.
That we didn't see coming, that we didn't realize we needed so badly. Y'all have been wonderful and love you so much. So thanks for everything.
We appreciate the support.
Yeah, we really do.
We have a very odd but very active support system.
The best tribe ever.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very happy. Well, let's get into some news.
Okay.
We're going to visit the front lines of the GOP's war on women for the first block today. A federal appeals court has restricted access to one of the most common means of abortion in the United States by blocking the mailing of prescriptions of mifepristone. Oh. Yep. A panel of the New Orleans-based Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is requiring that the abortion pill be distributed only in person at clinics.
That they're getting rid of.
Yep. Quote, every abortion facilitated by the FDA's action cancels Louisiana's ban on medical abortions and undermines its policy that, quote, every unborn child is a human being from the moment of conception and is therefore a legal person, end quote, the ruling states.
It's crazy.
Not even your fucking Bible says that.
Yeah.
Not even your fucking Bible says that. It says that you're not a person until you breathe. And it's like, you know what? Okay, I think that's pretty extreme. You know, but when you're all you're doing is ejecting a zygote, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, and what about your whole judge not lest you be judged bullshit? You guys, you Christians are so fucking weird, you cherry picking little shits.
And there's no reason. They just don't want people to have access. There's no reason why it could be that it would have to be picked up in person like that.
Yeah, no, there's really not. And then when you break that down and you look at like Clarence Thomas saying, okay, now that we got rid of Roe versus Wade, we're gonna go after same-sex marriage in with a Obergefell. I said that wrong. And then they want to take a look at in some states they're talking about mixed race marriages being against the law again.
Oh my God!
We just keep waltzing backwards because people didn't like the black lady. You know, and that's fucked up. That's misogynistic. That's racist. And it's dumb. And it's absolutely hurting women.
Yeah. It's killing us. Killing women.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Literally. So speaking of women, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez drew some backlash online from some supporters of Donald Trump last Sunday over what really was a very measured response to the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. By the way, I saw the video. I'm pretty sure the guy that got shot by another Secret Service agent.
Oh my God.
I there was some really poor barrel discipline, you know, going on when that guy ran through the metal detector. And that's my current conspiracy theory. Was this guy going in to kill pedophiles? Yeah, I think he was. You know, I don't think this is a false flag from that direction. I just think that there's some lying going on, and that's what's feeding the conspiracies, as we can tell something's up. Mm-hmm. I think a Secret Service agent shot another Secret Service agent on accident. And then they're just like, because they just keep saying, you know, oh, yeah, a Secret Service agent was shot. They don't say shot by the bad guy.
Yes.
They just say shot.
And they would have.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. Anyway, what AOC said online was, there is no place for political violence in our country. I am relieved that the president and the attendees at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last night are safe.
Classy.
End
fuck.
Tweet. End tweet. But then we get, there's a special place in hell for demons like you. At least have the decency to shut the hell up and sit this one out. What?
What'd she do?
And then Patriot Poppy says, actually, this is your fault. So please go fuck right off with all the other commie losers. Thumbs up. The Roosevelt Quorum. You Democrats created this environment with all your bullshit rhetoric. What? Okay. You can dish it, but you can't take it. It's fine when you do it. It's not fine when other people do it. It's the same fucking argument you assholes have about redistricting. You fucking cheat in Texas, and so California decides to, well, we'll just match them, mm-hmm. fighting fire with fire, and you guys all go, oh, no, that's
you
not fair.
You can't do that.
Yeah, just because we did it doesn't mean you can do it. Two wrongs don't make a right. Fuck off.
Idiots.
Fuck right off. Anyway, Sarah Longwell, longtime Republican strategist and publisher of the center-right-leaning Bulwark website, popped up with, this is a kind, responsible statement from an American politician. One of the current president of the United States would never offer a political foe. In fact, he celebrates their deaths. And all the comments are just unhinged, vile attacks on her for what? Modeling decency? Mm-hmm. Way to go, Sarah Longwell. I disagree with you on just about everything, but that was a class act.
She is.
Yeah. And so, I mean, what it pops up as is you've got Trump up saying that the rhetoric's too heated and those dratted Democrats are just, you know, causing all these problems with their, and we just need to be nicer and we need to just tone it down. Then the White House on Monday, mirroring the attitudes of the president, Donald Trump, guy who has a long history of making demeaning comments about women, and they made fun of a Democratic congresswoman's appearance during the Trump-appointed Environmental Protection Agency administrator Lee Zeldin shared footage on Twitter of his heated exchange with Representative Rosa DeLauro. my apologies, over climate change. The official White House account's message had a picture of Representative DeLauro and the video and Lee Zeldin. I mean, he had some dipshit thing to say. Nothing infuriates an uninformed congressional Dem more than when they realize they voluntarily triggered a debate with someone who knows what they're talking about, reads federal statute, and adheres to Supreme Court precedent. Today's self-implosion. Okay, you know what? That's political rhetoric. You're calling your opponent an idiot. You know, even though I've watched the goddamn exchange and completely disagree with you, the White House put out terrible take, even worse hair.
Ugh. Really?
Yep. She's got purple streaks right now. Dark hair with purple streaks. I like her hair. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's what was the name of the tiny little person in the Invincibles that made their costumes?
Oh, yeah. May or no.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Madam or
I
don't know.
I don't remember. But that's what she reminds me of. And I think that's an adorable look. And I think that she rocks it and she ought to keep doing it.
Who cares? It makes no difference.
So we had a couple of responses. Lynn said, because this is what we do in news now. We just quote randoms. Said, I thought I heard the president say yesterday we have to be nicer to each other, but clearly doesn't stop from this president or this White House. Also, same goes with what he said to Norah McDonald before this.
It's always the one with the bad hair making fun of the people for having bad hair. You know, he has the worst hair. So, of course, he has to go out after what someone's hair.
Oh, yeah. No, it's I mean, seriously, it's the call is coming from inside the house, Donnie.
Always is.
You're throwing stones inside your little glass shed. The parts of it you haven't torn down yet to build a fucking ballroom. Yeah, the last one, J.S. Taylor. I am astounded that the White House would take time to comment on someone's hair that they disagree with. So fucking immature. You would think they would have more important matters to attend to, such as attempted assassinations, king and queen visiting, you know, war. Guess not.
No.
It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing.
It's like we should be used to the embarrassment by now, but no, it still hits me. All different flavors.
Yeah.
All different ways.
Because it's no fun.
No. Sucks.
It really. It's yes. Do I think that a Democrat is going to be the next president? If the elections are held, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I think that the country is going to be like, whoa, we fucked up. You know.
Yeah.
Especially if he tries to run for a third term, which is why they're trying so hard, I believe, to fuck up the midterms right now. I mean, we got a story later about the fucking state that canceled an election that was already in process.
I didn't hear anything about
that. Yeah, Louisiana. Louisiana had a primary that the day after early voting started and the Supreme Court pushed down their gutting of the Voters' Right Act that just happened here a few days ago, he's pausing and going to have them redistrict before they do the fucking primary. It's like the elections have already started. And Republicans are cheating. Yeah. Absolute, just blatant, flat-out fucking cheating. And they're doing it with the blessing of the Supreme Court.
Oh my gosh, they have to, too. There's no other way unless they do that.
Yep, they're hosed. Look, we're all about the women around here.
Yeah,
solidarity. Down with the patriarchy.
We even have a whole wall, a feminist wall.
That is my background for everything I do, by the way.
It's a great wall, though.
It is a great wall. And if you were to do it, you would still have your stuff. There's no way for me to point a camera where you can see all the cool shit on my walls.
Yeah, you do have cool stuff.
But look, as I've said before about other groups, just because you are one doesn't mean you're a good person, right? I mean, take a long look at trad wives that are basically just undercutting decades of social progress for women, you know, by instead of being forced into subservience, they're volunteering to go into it. I do not get it. Go ahead.
No, sorry. It was just about that. It's like we're set up. It's just set up that way. It's like the, you know, That's all. I was just going to go off on a tangent, but...
That's what we're here for.
No, we're good. Let's move on.
Anyway, just to wrap up this segment on the war on women, Trump has nominated a pro-death Fox pundit to be the Surgeon General. Dr. Nicole Saphir is an anti-vax breast radiologist who wants less health care for Americans. Federal government's HHS government site says, as the nation's doctor, the Surgeon General is charged with protecting and improving the health and safety of the American people. But there is every reason to believe that Trump's new nominee for that position, Nicole Saphir, will do nothing of the sort. For one thing, despite playing a public health and infectious disease expert on TV, all of her credentials are related to breast imaging and cancer, which is good. But, I mean, let's not overblow. I mean, I understand the fucking offsides rule now, but I am not a fucking soccer expert.
Exactly.
Right. But when I figured out the offsides rule, I seriously felt like...
It's so fun to hear you start yelling out randoms.
Yep. But yeah, she's anti-vax, anti-insurance, anti-health viewpoints. She's bad. She's bad, and it's going to be bad.
Well, all the MAGA people, I hope, are going to die first from all of this.
You know, we keep saying that, and it keeps not happening. But let's talk about that on the other side real quick. We're going to take a little break. When we get back on the other side, we got more news.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
So, I don't know if you guys caught it, but we opened up a podcast academy over on School. Ooh. You can go to theleftshow.com and click on it and get more information about what it's all about. But basically, I break down 15 years of award-winning podcast production and hosting into 13 lessons for you guys to peruse, to learn, to start your own show, to maybe improve a current show, how to work when you're doing multiple shows at once, all this different stuff. And there's three different levels. There's the beginning level where we kind of go through getting started and your first steps all the way through your first show. And then there's the second one on branding and monetization. And then there's a third one, which is the VIP tier, which is 2 hours one-on-one with me. I'll walk you through anything you want to know about the podcast world. And probably more.
So cool. I love that you're doing this.
So yeah, you can look it up over at theleftshow.com. It's over there on the right-hand sidebar. Little thing, just click on it and it'll take you over and give you more information.
Cool.
Yeah. But now it's time for deep dives. It's time for The Left Show's deep dives. Every week, your intrepid hosts take a detailed look at important topics from across the globe that matter to you, whether you know it or not. Let's see how this goes. Best of luck, folks. I think last week you went first.
Yeah,
I did. I'm going to go ahead and go first this time.
Okay.
And talk about the war on women. Yeah, when people talk about a war on women, it kind of sounds a little like sloganeering. But underneath it is a pattern of policies and cultural signals that consistently limit women's autonomy. You see it very clearly in reproductive rights, where laws restrict access to abortion or even certain forms of health care, shifting decision-making power away from individuals and toward the state. But it doesn't stop there. It shows up in efforts to roll back workplace protections, undermine equal pay initiatives, restrict discussions of gender and sexuality in schools, and challenge long-standing legal frameworks that protect against discrimination and harassment. What ties all of these together isn't just ideology, it's control. The underlying message is that women's choices, bodies, and voices are subject to external authority. And that message doesn't stay confined to legislation, then it seeps into the culture. Who gets interrupted? Who gets believed? Who gets to lead? And who is expected to accommodate? When autonomy is debated at the policy level, it subtly reinforces the idea that autonomy is negotiable in everyday life. So where do men fit into this? Because it's not just a policy issue, it's a behavioral one. If you're a man who believes in equality, the baseline shift is simple, but powerful. Women are not supporting characters in your life, your workplace, or your worldview. They are autonomous, fully realized individuals with authority over their own experiences. That means listening without assuming, believing without dismissing, and making space without needing to control that space. Practically, it looks like a few things. First, examine reflexes. Interrupting, explaining over someone, mansplaining, or defaulting to your perspective as the neutral one. Those habits, they're often invisible until you actively check in on yourself. Second, defer to the expertise when it's not yours to claim. If women are speaking about their own lived experiences, your role is not to reinterpret it, it's to hear it. Third, when you can, use your position when it matters. In rooms where women are talked over or sidelined, backing them up isn't performative, it's corrective. And finally, understand that respect isn't passive. It's not just, I don't oppose you. It's actively recognizing agency. Supporting policies that expand choice, respecting boundaries without negotiation, and rejecting narratives that frame women in as needing guidance, protection, or frankly, permission. Because this isn't about blame, it's about responsibility. Systems don't change on their own, they shift when individual behavior changes alongside policy. If autonomy is the principle, then the goal is clear. A world where women don't have to justify their choices, defend their credibility, or ask to be heard, because those things should already be understood as a given.
Yes. I love it.
Going all right?
It was so good. And I had so many comments as you were reading that. I think being an important thing for men is to be open to learning and being wrong. Because it's great if you're like, I'm a feminist and I support women, but sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and you
sure.
and it needs to be pointed out, and then you can correct yourself, but don't be so prideful. I feel like sometimes men get so prideful in this, like, I'm right and whatever, I'm over that. But yeah, that was great. I loved it.
It is. And you know, I'm not making excuses for men. You know, I'm just pointing out the statistical reality that we are victims of our environment. But the cool thing about being a victim, especially of your environment, is that you can overcome that and be a champion for change, to be a champion for women. You know, it's not anti-masculine to believe women are fucking people. They're people.
I heard somewhere a man talking and about women, and he's like, "Is women... women are human too." Like he just dawned on him that like we have the same kind of thing happening. Yeah.
There was a meme running around a couple of years ago that was basically like, you know, I have this libertarian member of my family who stopped being libertarian and started being, you know, a good person. And when I asked him why, he said, I tried MDMA and realized that other people have feelings.
Oh, Jesus. Pass it out to everybody.
You know what? Seriously, some MDMA or a little LSD would do wonders for this fucking Congress. You know?
Just not the cocaine.
Less cocaine.
Yeah.
Less cocaine.
For sure.
Yeah. So, I believe it is your turn.
It is my turn.
Are you ready to go?
I am.
Because I am ready to hear.
We'll see how this
what
goes.
What you have to say.
Okay.
Okay.
For 150 years, the Kentucky Derby has been called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. But imagine this.
Yes.
Most of that history, the finish line was reserved only for men. Today, I'm doing a deep dive into the women who refused to just watch from the grandstands in their fancy hats. I did not know that grandstands, I put sidelines, and that's not right. So I learned that. Let's go back to 1968. Penny Ann Early tried to ride at Churchill Downs, and the male jockeys literally went on strike to stop her. 2 years later, Diane Crump finally broke through, becoming the first woman to ride in the Derby. She had to have a police escort just to get to the paddock because the crowd was so hostile towards her. What was her response? A horse doesn't know whether the rider on his back wears a dress or pants. So now let's talk about the real icons, the horses. Out of over 150 Derby winners, only three have been female. First, there was Regret in 1915. She was so dominant, she put the Derby on the national map. Then came the modern legends, Genuine Risk in 1980 and the powerhouse Winning Colors in 1988. These weren't just good for a girl horses. They were faster, stronger, and tougher than every colt on the track. They proved that in racing, gender is secondary to heart. But the biggest glass ceiling didn't shatter until, yes, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Two days ago. For over a century, a woman had never trained a Kentucky Derby winner. We saw Jenna Antonucci make history at the Belmont in 2023, and the Derby remained the final frontier. But the Derby did still remain the final frontier. That changed when Sherry DeVos stepped into the winner's circle with Golden Tempo. It wasn't just a win. It was a 23-1 upset that silenced every critic who said a woman couldn't manage the pressure of the Derby trail. She didn't just win a race. She ended a 152-year drought. From Diane Crump's police escort to Sherry's roses, women have moved from the sidelines to the winner's circle. The Derby might not be about the horses, but the Derby might be about the horses, but the history is being written by the women who refuse to tell to be left behind. So let's stop asking if women can win the Derby and start asking which woman will win it next. Because as we saw this year, when the starting gates open, the only thing that matters is the horses, the heart, and the drive to cross that finish line. It was really exciting that she won on Saturday.
Okay. It reminds me of like Bobby Gibb in Catherine Switzer. Catherine Switzer was the first person to officially run the Boston Marathon. And there's a famous picture of one of the race organizers trying to tear her sign off because he's such a dick.
Yeah.
But the year before that, unofficially, Bobby Gibb ran. That was in 1966. And in Switzer was in 1967. And they're fine. Mm-hmm. They're just fine. It's like they didn't end up at the end of the race with bicycle face.
Right. I was just going to say that. Horse face. What does horse face look like? I can't even imagine. It'd be pretty slobbery going that fast.
I'm not going to answer that one. That one's a trap. Okay. Horse face. Oh. I am excited for you. I am excited for women, for glass ceilings being broken. I'm always a big fan of that. Not a big fan of horse racing.
Yeah.
If your horse wants to run and win, great. If your horse is running away from you, smacking its ass with a whip, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I get that. It was interesting. I was listening to them talk about one horse. I can't remember their name, but it fights, this horse fights back. Did you hear that as well? Yeah. So when the jockey is like trying to get him to go fast or straight, he'll like knock his head back and forth, and he still pulls out and wins.
Horse has heart.
Yeah.
You know,
fighter.
Yeah, absolutely. And horses love to run. I'm just saying, get rid of the whips. Get rid of the whips, and I will watch horse racing like a champ, you know? But as long as you guys are making those horses run faster by them trying to escape the pain you're causing by smacking them, and don't tell me it doesn't fucking hurt. I've been hit with a horse whip before, and it fucking hurts.
Sorry about that.
It's, well, like I said, that's why we have safe words.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you want to do some news?
Yes, I do.
The Trump administration's campaign to replace immigrant judges with fringe right-wingers. A Washington Post investigation found a men's rights advocate, a promoter of conspiracy theories, and a former immigration judge who rejected an asylum claim from a man he said didn't think he looked overtly gay, have been hired as judges. The Trump administration has hired men's rights advocates. The hires, first reported by the Washington Post last Monday, are part of the Trump administration's campaign to fill immigration courts with judges who are supportive of the government's mass deportation agenda. When we talk about the fact that it'll be decades before we can extricate ourselves from the damage that Trump has done to this country, it's shit like this. It's getting rid of judges that have long-term appointments. I mean, it was like Biden not being able to get rid of DeJoy with the Postal Service because he's there on a term.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't just fucking fire somebody who's there on a turn.
Well, unless you're Trump.
Yeah. So the Post surveyed the newly hired immigration judges and found that 2/3 listed no immigration law experience, 2/3 in their online biographies, and that more than 3/4 had never worked for the Justice Department, Immigrations and Customs, or immigration courts. Wow. Tastes a little racist to me.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to clean up a mess. You know how long it's going to take to get that blue paint out of the fucking reflecting pool? Oh. That's they're putting in the heavy duty, long term backdoor pool epoxy shit.
I was just hoping it was like some acrylic paint that they found and just would, you know, disappear.
Well, with the Trump gang, I'm surprised it wasn't fucking watercolor.
I know.
You know?
And I'm sure that blue never existed. That color blue never existed until them. Until Trump.
I invented blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wish I had a Trump impression. It'd be so much more fun to make fun of him with a good Trump impression.
No, I'm so glad you don't. I could not unhear that.
That's fair.
That'd be really hard for me.
That's fair.
I'd struggle.
And there's activities that you and I engage in that I need you to think of me
right
in a not bad way.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Last week, as we were talking about just a little bit, the Supreme Court killed off most of what remained of the Civil Rights Act of 1965 that had protected minority groups' rights to vote as guaranteed by the Constitution. There was a ruling in Louisiana versus Calais that gutted Section 2 of the law, which prohibited measures like race-based gerrymandering that significantly weakened the votes of minority groups and is expected to lead to a wide-scale elimination of black members of Congress in the coming years, like Texas did. As white Republican legislators redraw voting maps to ensure that no minority community have enough votes to win election. The governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, fuck that guy and his stupid name, has already said he's, quote, delaying the state's primaries, which were supposed to begin Saturday, 2 days ago, The decision, written by Samuel Alito, who really, really, really needs to have a heart attack, and joined by the other 5 Republican-appointed justices on the court, strips away protections from voting discrimination unless plaintiffs can prove those measures were put in place with the express intent to discriminate. I'd say that if a Republican was doing it, that's evidence enough for me. So, in typical Alito fashion, the decision doesn't really technically declare Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act unconstitutional. Instead, the opinion simply sets a nearly impossible bar for enforcement. They already allowed gerrymandering for partisan advantage. So unless legislators openly state they're redrawing districts to discriminate against minorities in a notarized document with 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining how the map will harm minority voters, then the presumption has to be that the redistricting is for partisan advantage and the challenge will fail. That's your Supreme Court, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yeah. We're back to Mitch McConnell, you know, and not to sully the reputation of one of the greatest jurists of all time, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg should have fucking quit.
I know. You know? Love her so much. And
seeing her on Colbert lifting weights and all that kind of stuff, I'm just like, you know what? She's a champ and she should be on vacation. She should be enjoying her last few minutes on this earth as opposed to having a hangout with fucking Samuel Alito and Justice Roberts.
Did she ever comment on that? Did she ever talk about her reasonings and why she didn't?
If she did, I've either missed it or forgotten.
Yeah, I don't know that I've heard any.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, we can look that up. Trump had a handshake with King Charles when he was in. And you know how he does that thing where he tries to pull you real tight and shake you all around and all that?
Yep.
Yeah, Charles shook back.
Good job, Charles.
Yep. I mean, it's honestly, I don't know why. I picked this because I thought we wouldn't have time for it after the deep dives. But I forgot that JC wasn't doing the show this week. So we're bringing this one up. And basically, Trump decided to be an asshole. And Charles decided to challenge him on it.
Good.
And that was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's... What?
Oh, no, I was just saying he has the worst interactions with... Like, he's so uncomfortable and so weird. I remember when Obamas were greeting them into the White House and he left... I remember watching it on the news as it was happening. He left Melania in the car on the other side and just walked right in. Do you remember? And
yep.
Obama was the one who helped her, and then Michelle helped put her arm around her.
It's the walk into the airplane and he's got an umbrella and she doesn't, it's over him, and he keeps moving her to the side, which is why when he tries to take her hand and she slaps him away, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I absolutely get it. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we get back on the other side, we're going to round up the news of the week you thought you'd left behind. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Spirit Airlines going out of business.
What? That's shocking.
Yeah, gasp. Gasp. The cattle car in the sky can't make it. The reason why is because gas is too expensive and they're a shitty company.
So shitty.
But Spirit Airlines, the impish upstart that shook the industry with its irreverent ads and deep discount fares, announced Saturday that it's gone out of business after 34 years. The ultra low cost airline that once operated hundreds of daily flights in its bright yellow planes and employed about 17,000 people said that it had, quote, started an orderly wind down of our operations effective immediately. The airline said on its website that all flights have been canceled and customer service is no longer available.
Whoa.
Yikes. Quote, we are proud of the impact our ultra-low-cost model on the industry over the last 34 years and had hoped to serve our guests for many more to come. But
wow.
They are out of business. You know? And then you had Sean Duffy saying that he doesn't think government needs to bail out low-cost airlines. Which is fine. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that it's coming from him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you guys couldn't find a way to turn a profit on this bailout, could you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yep. I'm just saying, you know what? Yeah. Let them fail. Let all of them fail. Either nationalize, you know, air travel, mm-hmm. which, dear God, please don't do that. The idea for it makes sense to me until you put the personalities that are currently running the show in charge of a nationwide service, because you're watching how they're destroying the post office. Mm. Post office is not a business. The post office is a service. The post office is not supposed to make a profit. It's not. It's supposed to be there to serve the people by moving mail from one place to another for an affordable cost. When you look at mostly rural delivery, it's that last 5 miles that counts the most, you know, and that's the one where UPS or FedEx is going to charge you $20 to get it there, where the post office is only going to charge you, you know, less than a dollar at this point.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're saying. I just mailed a book the other day and it cost me $6.
And you can choose your own stamps. For all of you that don't know that, go into the post office, ask to see a book. Tell him I sent you.
Jimmy Kimmel back on TV. Not that he was gone. But after Trump has demanded that he be fired, Kimmel did not back down last week after both President Trump and First Lady Melania demanded that ABC fire him over jokes he made last week. He said at the top of his monologue, you know how sometimes you wake up in the morning and the first lady puts out a statement demanding you be fired from your job? I mean, we've all been there, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Last week, Kimmel created his own version of the White House Correspondents Association dinner roast that included a crack about Melania glowing, quote, like an expectant widow. Funny line.
That is awesome line.
Yep. Days later at the actual event, a gunman rushed past security and, quote, opened fire, end quote. No, he didn't. A Secret Service agent shot that other agent. I'm telling you. I'm 90% sure that's what I saw in a video. As he tried to get into the ballroom, you know, from one floor and a couple hundred yards away.
Mm-hmm. I love the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and I miss it.
Well, that was back when it was fun.
It was so fun. It was one of my favorite nights of the year.
Trump's didn't even have a comedian.
Yeah. That was,
you know, I mean, look, Trump is Seth Meyers' fault.
Oh, because of the
roast he did during the White House Correspondents Association dinner.
It was so good, though.
It was so good. What was the line? It's Donald Trump says he's going to run as a Republican. I thought that was pretty funny because I thought he was running as a joke.
Yeah.
And then they did a tight in on Trump, and he's like, I'm a grumpy faced little bitch.
He doesn't move.
I'll have my revenge. Little bitch. He says, I understand the First Lady had a stressful experience over the weekend, and probably every weekend is pretty stressful in that house. And also, I agree that hateful and violent rhetoric is something we should all reject. I do. And I think it's a great place to start to dial that back and would have a conversation with your husband about it. But if you want us to believe that a joke I made 3 days before this dinner had any effect on anything that happened, well, then maybe someone should look into this psychic lady, too. You know? And then he showed the footage of Carolyn Leavitt speaking before the event where she's like, there's going to be shots fired. And then shots were fired, and you wonder why the conspiracy theorists are losing their fucking minds. Mm-hmm. You know, you really do. Up in Maine, Janet Mills dropped out of the race. Hmm. Hand-picked, hand-groomed by Fuck Schumer. I'm sorry. No, I said it right. Yeah. Basically, leaving Graham Plattner to run against Susan Collins all by himself without having to spend a bunch of money running against a center-right Dem. Handpicked by other center-right Dems. An APAC stooge. But citing a lack of money to compete, Maine Governor Janet Mills announced she's dropping out of her race to take on Republican Senator Susan Collins in a crucial state for Democrats. Mills, 78. You know, in my job search, and I'm in my early 50s, I can still say that. You know, I have a problem with ageism.
You know, I get it, yeah.
People see the gray beard and they're like, uh-oh. And so I'm pissed about ageism. But then we get into the government. And these people make decisions that last for, the consequences of the decisions that they make last for decades. And it seems to me that somebody who is that close to being dead of natural causes shouldn't be making decisions that will affect the lives of children being born right now.
Exactly.
You know, it's I'm listening to a podcast this morning while I made oatmeal you didn't eat. And yeah, I know. And
damn, I forgot.
A little passive aggressive swing there on that. And Bernie Sanders is all, I'm not a technical guy. And it's like, no, you're not. And he recognizes that he's not, and he legislates accordingly. You know, he speaks accordingly. He's like, you know what? I have a problem with this for these reasons. And most of those reasons are usually, this fucks kids over. Mm-hmm. And I respect the shit out of that.
Yeah.
I really do.
I was going to say something, and I was gone.
That's fair. So Mills, 78, was a top recruit of Senate Minority Leader Charles E. Schumer, but lost ground quickly to Graham Plattner, an oyster farmer who's never held elective office before, but who's been drawing large crowds around the state. I'm from Utah. I'm a Utah Democrat, no matter how much I hate saying that, just because the Utah Democrats, until very, very recently, have been a complete fucking joke, you know, over the last 10, 12 years or so. But you know, Graham Plattner is the kind of guy we need to get involved. He's a good populist. His populist message is sound. When shit popped up, you know, from him being an asshole when he first got out of the military, he's owned it. He's owned it. He's apologized to it. And he's laid out the pathway of his redemption. You know, he's like, this is what I used to think, and this is why I don't think that anymore. And these are the reasons why I've made these changes, and here's where I am now. That's how you work a political apology. Most political apologies are, you know, oh, they're just teaming up on me because they're scared.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
True.
Yeah, that's why, that's one of the reasons I like him. And I like the way he speaks. I like where he is on the issues. I like Graham Plattner a lot. And the fact that he was running and generating good numbers when actual Democrats, you know, legislative Democrats like Schumer were like, oh, no, we need a really old lady because you're too progressive. Mm-hmm. And they're not noticing, or they don't care when you're looking at, you know what, I've given up on most of Gen X. To be honest with you, there's a good chunk of us that are out there fighting the good fight, but too many of us went MAGA, and I don't understand why. I don't understand why people that were raised with Black Flag and Motley Crue could possibly swing MAGA. It doesn't make any goddamn sense to me at all, but, you know, here we are. But you start looking at millennials, they give a shit. You start looking at Gen Z, and they give a shit. And they're checking out. And then you look at Gen Alpha, who's coming up and is going to be able to vote soon. And they could give a fuck. And this is the playground in which Republicans delight to play, because the only people that can stop them are more than happy to go to a march on a Saturday or a Wednesday. You know, and I have no problem with protest. I'm been to several of them myself. I've even headlined a couple. But on the days they're not marching, they should be politically involved. And if they don't like the Democratic Party and they don't like the Green Party and they don't like that, start something. Jesus Christ, I have seen you guys on social media organize brilliantly. So if you don't like what you have, build us a good, strong third party. I'll join. You know, as long as it's left swinging.
Right. Yes.
You know, let's do that. It's when Republicans break off. It's like members of the FLDS Church. Mm-hmm. They're just like, you know what? You Mormons ain't Mormon enough for us, so we're gonna go start our own Mormon.
You don't stone women.
You let them speak out of turn.
Come down here to Colorado City.
Oh, Colorado City's creepy as fuck.
I lived right by it for quite a long time.
You did?
Yeah.
Yep. So, a last piece of good news for this episode.
Oh, good. I could use good news.
Sorry about that. There's not a lot of good news out there. Or if there is, it doesn't quite fit. But Alex Jones lost his fucking mind as The Onion took over InfoWars. It's a year and a half after we were able to celebrate the news that The Onion would take over Alex Jones' conspiracy mongering website, InfoWars. And it looks like it's finally happening for real. The Onion, through its real corporate identity, Global Tetrahedron.
Wow, that's a name.
I love these guys. Announced this week that it had reached an agreement to take over InfoWars and convert it into a parody of itself. It started. And the guy does an amazing Alex Jones impression. I'm not going to do an impression of the impression, and I'm not going to blow any of the jokes, but you should pop up onto your TikToks, kids, and take a look at this one. But basically, Alex Jones was ordered to pay $1.5 billion to the families of the Sandy Hook victims that he'd been smearing as crisis actors and saying that their children weren't actually murdered. Since Jones lost two defamation suits brought by a victim's family, he's pretty much done everything he can to avoid paying even a penny in damages. And so this feels like it's the first step in getting some relief to the families. It's great. The rainbow logo they've turned the InfoWars logo into is a work of art.
Love that.
It is beautiful. But yeah, Alex Jones has been losing his fucking mind.
Good.
He absolutely has. He took off his shirt and went wandering onto the set in the middle of a live stream, insisting that the buyout wasn't real, that InfoWars isn't just a name or a URL, it's you. And also that he would reverse the not real illegal theft in court, he said. He also talked up his new website, which of course I will not mention. But yeah, he's really, really lost his fucking mind. Mm-hmm. And I am here for it. I love it. It's fun. He's got it coming. He deserves it.
He's hurt so many people.
Oh, he's such a garbage human.
Yeah.
You know, he's just one of those where you're like, oh boy, you're the same species as me. Ew. So gross. So gross. Well, I don't know. What do you got coming up? What are we looking forward to this week?
Let's see. Let me check my schedule. I don't know. A whole lot and nothing for me.
Not a lot. I'm just, you know, trying to do school and looking for work.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a full-time gig, hopefully remote, you know, so that I can be on hand for stuff, but I'll take whatever I can get at this point.
Yeah.
What else have we got going on? Hey, we're still doing the fundraiser over at theleftshow.com. If you have a couple bucks, I mean, $5, small dollar donors pay the bills around here. Pop over to leftshow.com. There's several different ways to give. We would, you know, appreciate it. Our hosting bill has gone up exponentially. My guess is that much like the 2012 election, when we hit our first round of insane popularity, with numbers we have not matched since, you know, it was just a political zeitgeist that just happened to bring us to the top of the search engines for a few very critical months. And it's happening again, and we're getting more and more listeners, and it's becoming more and more expensive to distribute the show. In addition, we've branched out. We're now doing the shows on YouTube. We're doing them on TikTok. We're doing clips on TikTok. We're doing clips on Instagram. We're doing clips on Facebook. You know, like I said, we're branching into video. When we did the last fundraiser that didn't make it, that the plan for that was to actually put together a studio for us to record in. Fell way short of that. So we're doing the best that we can. And the truth is, I like it. I think they look nice, and it's fun to see us on platforms we really have been underrepresented in the past. So if you want to join us, pop over to theleftshow.com. We got links to everything there. You can find us all over the internet.
I hope not.
Not in those places, but not for lack of trying.
I know, right?
More for lack of interest. but right now we're going to go do Patreon, patreon.com/dfenmedia. Every week that we record, we go over to Patreon. We do a little special show for our Patreon patrons. This week, actually quite serious news. There's a couple of funny ones in there. I promise I do my best for you. But that's where we're going to be, is over at patreon.com/dfenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. We hope that you'll join us there as we attempt to keep this show alive.
Yes.
Alive.
Alive and thriving.
Yep. Anyway, babe, thanks for, oh, I'm sorry. Can I call you that on the show?
You may call me that.
Okay. Thanks for doing the show with me this morning. I'm glad you're feeling up to it.
I know, me too. I'm excited be here with you.
I love it. It's a hoot. Anyway, we'll do another episode of I Told You So ASAP. Don't forget to listen to Gen Zex with myself and Braxton Bunnell here on Wednesdays on theleftshow.com. And I think that's it for us today. So let's all go do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com, DFenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.